sweat and go down and come back. It's a lot of walking. Well, kids, you're dismissed. I don't know if you're a sweater. It can be this cold in here, and I can still sweat. So that might be a lack of exercise, but I don't know. It's something. But Brian, how do you feel? You feel older today? Yeah, you're an old man. So I can say that because you're a couple months older than me. So anyway, happy birthday. We're glad that you chose here to be, and we're proud of you, and we're thankful for you. And if you know Brian, his heart is just beautiful. And so we're grateful for you. Happy birthday. So we have a special announcement next Sunday, and so be encouraged. We have some good news coming our way, and so I hope that you'll be here for that. If not, check it out online. Good stuff happening. Are you all okay? Are you ready? Are you cold? Yes, praise God. There was two options this week. We've been going on, Pastor Gary, how many months with this? I don't know. Anyway, it's been maybe 3 months. I'm not sure, but we had an option of keeping the air on and having it run all the time or shutting it off and waiting till Wednesday. And I think it's a little too warm outside to take the alternative. And so if you feel blessed and want to give a special offering to the electricity bill this month, it's been running for 7 days straight. So it was that or let it be humid and hot. And so since I already sweat a lot and you get to see that, I figured we'd go with the air conditioning. And then I came in yesterday and Bill and I realized that the water had been running outside. So I'm going to let Sproles know about that in a nice email after Sunday. I didn't send it today because it's Sunday, right? It's a Sabbath. So I'll send that email tomorrow. That the gate was open and the water was running, and so I'm going to figure out how much that is. So if you want to give to the water as well, you can do that if you'd like. And so I'm a bearer of great news today, so maybe next week. All right, well, we're going to continue on. Oh, goodness. Oh, there we go. Oh, gosh. Okay. All right, we're going to continue on learning about Stephen, and I hope that, and I don't know where you're at spiritually, but I hope that you can see that Stephen, okay, as the first martyr, as a man that had a heart that was seen by others as significantly and intimately interwoven with the heart of Jesus, I hope that you can see it as a challenge for you today to begin to really seek after the Lord in the way that Stephen sought after the Lord. And today we're going to journey back for a second and then journey into the second part of this that we didn't get to last week. But I hope you remember that last week I was so excited about the message and just how we see that Jesus went and ascended to the Father and he sat at the right hand of the Father. Church, he sat. But when Stephen looked up, Jesus was standing. That's significant. That meant that Jesus was concerned about what was happening to Stephen. It means that he went from sitting at the right hand of the Father to standing at the right hand of the Father, gazing into the eyes of Stephen. And church, today, if you'll look to him, guess what he's doing? He's gazing into your eyes. And that is significant that the creator of the universe has a desire to gaze, to look, to be, to interact with you. And so today, aren't you glad it's like a lot of scriptures today? Are you ready for it? You think you can stand for it? Yes, come on, let's stand for the reading of God's word today. And we're going to start in verse 56. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice, and they stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Terrible scene. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, here is what Stephen did. He called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice. And this is significant. "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Oh, gosh. Oh, Jesus. Just be with us today. I don't know, but as a Christian, as a New Testament Christian, this chapter 7 of the mighty book of Acts, the actions of the apostles, the actions of the early church, the actions that come out of this man's heart, lips, is significant. I wonder if every Christian since then lived in this way, what the earth would look like today. But what I know, and as we stand here today, we can look, we can live, we can seek, we can be like Stephen, because Stephen was like you, Jesus. And today our heart's desire is to be like you, to live like you, to speak like you, to respond like you. And so let us do that. Let the enemy be bound in the name of Jesus from this place. Let our hearts and our minds attune to the word of God today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right, so let's go through what's so significant about this passage, okay? And I want you to think about Jesus for a second. It's somewhere we didn't go last week because I wanted you to really get the impact of this moment with Stephen. But now I want you to take this journey back and understand that Jesus gets being killed, martyred. He was martyred for his faith in a sense, right? He was killed not for his own sin, but for the sin that we have. He went to the cross for that. And so what I want you to think about is who was present. See, I wanted you to first understand that Jesus was present in Stephen's hardest day, which means that Jesus is present in your... Y'all with me? Come on now. We got to get fired up because this stuff is good, right? Jesus is present in your hardest days. He's also present in your good days. He's also present in your loneliest of days. He is present, church. If we started living like he was present, if we started living like every time we looked, we saw, we would be different. And so I want you to think about Jesus' death, and I want you to think about why would Jesus be so in tune with Stephen? Well, when Jesus died, if you look in John, it tells us that the mother of Jesus, Mary, was standing there. There were others, just a few standing there, and a disciple that he loved so was standing there. He made sure that his mom was taken care of. But let me tell you what didn't happen. And here's why I believe, and this is so significant, why Jesus stands to his feet. Because let's think about who wasn't there. And I know I don't even feel worthy to say this, but God wasn't there. Jesus knew what it meant to turn to the Father, and the Father turned away because of me. Jesus knew what it meant to look up and not see what he had been eternally connected to, church. Come on now, we don't think about this. God wasn't present at the death of Jesus because of Joe, Jan, Ashley, Kyle. Come on now, put your name there. He looked up, and guess who wasn't present? The Father looked away. Whew. Now you come to Stephen, the first Christian to be martyred. Now you think about, why in the world would Jesus get up? Well, because Jesus knew what it looked like. Jesus knew what it felt like. Jesus knew what it meant to look around and see 3 out of thousands, maybe 4 or 5, and then to look up and not see the Father. And so, at his death, the most trusted followers turned away. They denied him. Jesus was genuinely alone in this. You may feel like you're alone, but I promise you, if you just get on your knees and call out in desperation, call out in perseverance, he is going to be present. You may not always like his presentness. I don't think we always like what he presents, but he's present. Here we see Jesus engaging with Stephen. And why? Because Jesus got being falsely accused. Think about how closely intertwined, right? And Ashley was telling me about this last Sunday, how closely intertwined Jesus and Stephen's story is. Remember the speech that I read on and on and on and on? Remember that? You love when I read on and on the scriptures, and you say to me, well, I could have read that at home and gotten prepared. But remember, all of that was truth. Stephen didn't say one thing that wasn't truth. Jesus never said a word that wasn't truth. Do you see these stories, how beautifully intertwined they are? I mean, do you think of the day that we're going to get to go to heaven? And somehow, I don't know where Stephen is in the picture, but the way that Jesus received and looked and saw and comforted Stephen, imagine the place that Stephen held in the heart of Jesus. Really, it wouldn't have been that far after, right, the death of Jesus. I think it would have been pretty close to Jesus' mind. He was abandoned. No one was around. Stephen, all that he could see were those that were against him. You ever feel like that? That all you can see are those that are against you when you've got a God that's for you? Jesus knew exactly what Stephen was encountering. What does that tell us? It tells us that there is no place that you can go that Jesus doesn't know. There is no place, no depth, no loneliness, no heartbreak, no trial, even unto death, in a way like this, that Jesus can't look down and say, I know just where you are. And somehow, this early on Christian got it. I think we've forgotten it. Luke has a beautiful ability to kind of bring light to this incident, to this time, to what's happened here. Let's look at three things. So we're going to look at the parallel between Jesus' encounter at death and here Stephen's encounter with death. And so if you're ready for this, the first thing that we see here in just these short passages is that, what does Stephen do? He calls on to the Lord. And there is the word that it translates. It's one word, and it's to call upon the Lord. Church, when do you call upon the Lord? Y'all should scream out all the time, right? We should be calling out to the Lord all the time, in every trial and everything. We should be calling out to the Lord. Stephen gave us a beautiful example. I think the problem is that in our society, we call out to a lot of things. We expect a lot of places. We expect a lot of entities to serve us in the way that He wants to serve us. See, Stephen knew there was nowhere else to go, and I promise you, if he thought that there was somewhere else he could go, somewhere else he could call to, some leader he could say, hey, go and see so-and-so, they'll testify about who I am, I don't think he would have done it. I think he actually had the opportunity to do it. I think he could have said other things. Instead, he talked about the glory of God in his speech. Instead, he talked about truth. Instead, he talked about things that he knew would upset the people. And so I think that Stephen understood what it meant to call upon the Lord. And then it goes back to what Peter said, which is actually a quote, then back to the Old Testament, which is, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will or shall be saved. And see, we interpret that. What's beautiful here is we interpret that as just being saved, as in salvation. That's actually not what Stephen's saying here. He already was saved. He was already filled with the Holy Spirit. He asked the Lord to save him from his present circumstance. But not in a way to remove him from his present circumstance. Huh. See, who do we call out to in times of distress? Hey, we're celebrating Father's Day. Sometimes we call on our dad. We call her dad up a lot, right? We shouldn't, but we do. I call him up and say, what should I do? And he says, now, Joe, you already know the answer, right? I'm like, well, I just want to hear from, you know, then I can go to the church and say what my father-in-law said instead of I said, right? And oftentimes he says, what does the Bible say? And I said, well, the Bible says, he said, then go with the Bible, right? But think about it. Who do we call in times of distress? We call that person, that group, that entity that we trust. Oftentimes, they go before the Lord. Oftentimes, they're first before we. Stephen, as the first martyr, Stephen is one of the early Christians. Stephen is one of the really founding 25,000 members of what we call the New Testament church. He called upon the Lord. Well, he called upon the scripture, right? In his speech. And then when the time came, he called upon the Lord. Man, you say, Pastor, it's so simple. It is. It's very basic. Stephen actually lived a very basic life. It's actually not as complicated as we make it. Stephen made it very simple in these last moments and last words. So how is this similar? So ask yourself today, who is it that you call on in times of distress? Now, here's what we do as humans. We want a certain reaction, right? And we know the people in our lives is about to hit home, right? That will give us that certain reaction. My wife will say to me sometimes when I worked up about something, I said, I'm going to share it with, and she'll say, now, Joe, you know they're going to just agree with you, right? Why don't you try somebody that may not agree with you and maybe challenge you a little bit on this? Because that's what we do. I'm mad, so let me go to who's mad as well, and let's get a coup, right? That's just the truth. That's what we do. Don't call the holiness person because they're going to say, let's step away from the coup and let's see truth. See, what did Stephen do in his time of distress? He called upon the Lord. I promise you there was somebody he could have called on, but he called on the Lord. Stephen calls out to the Lord. Something's got to break. If we don't call out to the Lord in that kind of way, something has to break in our life. There's a lion, there's a theme, there's a history that ain't right. If we look at Stephen, this also parallels at the crucifixion, who did Jesus cry out to? Now the difference here is that there was a response from Jesus and there wasn't before. I think it's why Jesus is seen in such a beautiful way here. He's always seen in a beautiful way, but here, in such an intimate, knowingly way, he responds to Stephen. Think about the second parallel. Now, come on now. We have asked the Lord for a lot of things, right? Y'all been Christians for more than a day, right? Although youth are the only ones that got an excuse. It's just because they're young. Most of them know the Lord pretty well. And so we oftentimes call on the Lord for a lot of things. The dude was in what? Come on, some of you are in it right now. It's called pain, right? And we call on the doctors and we call on the, and we, I've got this thing in my back right now. Every time I move a certain way, what do? Don't laugh. It's serious. Oh, she laughs every time. It's, oh. All right, I got to take something back, by the way, because now the men know. The men were at my house Friday night, and it looks like, I mean, I don't know, men that were there, did you see the garden back there? I tried to avoid it and like not let you on that side because I've been ragging on her about our garden. But the tomatoes, no lie, they're up to my chest now, right? And I looked out Saturday morning and all the zucchini were about this high and they were all facing up because of the storm. You know, they love rainwater and they're looking up. And she says the key is, because I'm a little rough, she says the key is that she goes out and spends time with them and talks to them and comforts them and looks at their needs. And I'm like, girl, that ain't it. It's because you water them, you fed them, and that's it. And the Lord watered them too. So anyway, I got to take back all of my, she may be a farmer after all. I'm still, the verdict is out. But some of the men tapped me and said, I think you need to like take your words back. I'm like, I know. Anyway, I'll get to that one day. But those that said, I'm not going to give you tomatoes anymore, let's just wait and see, and then, you know, I'll decide whether we need tomatoes or not. Anyway, we often ask the Lord, right, for a lot of things. We want relief. We want. Most of all, we want our way. And we go to him and say, can you adjust this so I can have my way? Whew. Well, let's go back to Stephen. Let's go back to Jesus. Let's look at the parallel. Jesus, Abba, Father, if this, take it. And then finally there's a settling. And then Jesus says, right, let this be your will. Stephen, he says, "Receive my spirit." Now, he could have said, "Take this pain away." He could have said, "Give me more life." He could have said, "Condemn all of." He could have said, "Disperse them." He could have said, he could have said, he could have said. Stephen understood the power of God. Now, here's where you've got to remember past sermons. I taught you about signs and wonders, and that they actually are translated the same way the signs and wonders that Moses did in the Old Testament, which means some things were moving. The signs and wonders that God allowed Moses to do moved some stuff. It moved water, moved fire, moved food. Verbal also, but yes, it was in the physical. Which means that somehow, we don't know what, but it wasn't paralleled, it wasn't translated the same way just because. It meant Stephen, because of the power of God, was moving some things in the physical, in the spiritual, and in the body. Meaning outside the body and inside the body. It's significant. So Stephen knew at that moment that God could have done a miracle in removing the people that were stoning him. But instead of all the requests he could make, he said, "Receive my spirit." Luke gives us a glimpse here by saying those three things. Into his humility, into his character. And then here's the best thing. He gives us a glimpse into his expectations of the Lord. Do you get that? This dude was on fire for God. He was serving others for God. He was chosen to take care of the people's physical needs. Which kind of makes sense, right? Because if you were like one of the 25,000 and you had a back problem, and this guy over here is like providing food by just putting his hand out, and hey, you need water, and he tapped it over here and water was coming, and you'd probably say, let's vote for him to be the one that takes care of us, right? And let's be a little selfish here. So, I mean, it's pretty exciting, right? He's going to take care of my knee. My back problem's gone. Stephen got it. But he didn't expect it. Man. Kind of lowers our expectations, doesn't it? Or it should. I think just being a part of his kingdom. The older I get, the more moments I have close to death, I'm like, I just want. Right? When it comes down to it, you start saying to yourself, Jesus, I just want you. I get it. This is frail. This isn't long term. Stephen got it. And his expectation was, if you would just please, please, please receive my spirit. What does a glimpse into your request of the Lord look like? Did it look like Stephen's? Now, I'm not saying don't go before the Lord, because the scripture tells us to go before him fervently. But go before him without expectation. Go before him in humility. Go before him in understanding he is the creator and God of the universe. And I think the key in here, the thing that we miss, is what Stephen didn't say. That's the lesson. That's the challenge. Because he could have said a whole bunch of things. Because he, through the power of the Holy Spirit, performed signs and wonders. And so he understood the power of God. But he also understood in this moment that something was happening. Something that had to do with today. Something that had to do with each Christian that was watching this happen. Stephen had an understanding of this situation. He had an understanding that this was very important. Had he cried out to the officials, to the governors, to the high priest? Had he said, forget it, it's okay, I'm going to stop? Had he said, you know what, Lord, can you just stop this? Can you, you know what, Lord, you were able to do this through me, so can you do this through me now? But he got something that I think we miss. As a Christian, and as one of the very first, and as one of the seven that were selected, and as one of the ones that was said, you know what, out of the seven, even you are more connected to Christ, that everything he said and everything he did in these last moments was going to speak to the future of Christianity. And so he said very little. He modeled after Jesus, and he said, "Receive my spirit." Then the third thing, I mean, oh gosh, just like Jesus, he started what? Praying. And guess who he didn't pray about? Himself. Gracious sakes, I know you did not want this on Father's Day, dads, men. He fell to his knees. Tells us a couple of things. Tells us that the stoning was what? It was intensifying. I can't even picture that kind of death. It just seems terribly horrific. But posture is everything. He didn't fall. He didn't lay down. He fell to his knees, which is significant. Meaning he fell in a position he couldn't keep standing. The stoning was getting bad. The scene is getting worse. But he decided instead of just dropping to the ground. Now, why is that significant? So I studied it this week. If you were being stoned, the best position to do is like lay down and cover your head and just. Instead, he fell to his knees so he could be in a posture of prayer. Phew. This dude. And then what did he do? He said, "Well, let me pray for my enemies. Let me lift them to the Lord. Let me take myself out of it and put them before him." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Now, you say, "Well, what in the world?" Jesus did the same thing. Right? Look at what he did with those that were on his right and his left. And then what he said at the end. Talk about, because we want to say, well, we can model out a part or model after part of who Jesus is. Now, I love that theology because it's good theology and that it's easy theology, right? Because it's easy to take that, well, you know what I can do, I will, and what I can, I won't, but man, I'll do some of it. That's great theology, and a lot of Christians are living it. And it's maybe why things are the way they are. And Stephen said, "Let me actually, in the worst moments of my life, just model after Jesus." Stephen knew a little bit about his death, right? And so, the graciousness of God, of Jesus, comes into play here. And you may not believe me here, but "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now, I love this, and I looked at it this week to make sure that we're on track here. It did not say that he died. You know why? Because here's what I believe, and you don't have to believe it with me. And theologians, it's probably hardest for you to believe this. But Jesus was looking at him, right? And here's Stephen again. Lives after the model of Jesus. I mean, I don't know if, like, you get proud of your kids, but we are his kids, right? He says that we're his, and I don't know about Jesus as maybe much as I would like to know about him, but I feel like he was looking at him, this interaction, this scene was happening, and he went on his knees and did exactly what Jesus did on the cross in the worst of pains that you could ever be in, and he began to pray for those that were stoning him. And I think Jesus said, "My goodness, go to sleep. You're not going to feel any more of this. Be done. Be done." And he fell asleep. So this scene, it's not a crucifixion on the cross, but it is a martyr scene. It is an innocent victim being. It is an innocent person being falsely taken care of. It's a model. And see, I think we love to say, well, you know, Jesus says, I mean, how can we, yeah, he said do greater than, he said be like me, he said all those things, but I mean, it's Jesus. You know what the problem with the Bible is? Every time you say that, there's another, right? And so you try to use that as an excuse, and then the Bible comes in and shows us that, well, then there's Stephen. And if I stood here today and told you about all the apostles and the early church and how they died, we'd have about 20 more thousand examples. So we can say today it's not just Stephen. We can say today that in our roughest moments, Stephen's a good person to look at. If you allow yourselves in your mind to always say, well, because it's Jesus, I can't, which is terrible thinking, that's stinking thinking. But maybe just say, well, if Stephen did it because Stephen lived like Jesus, then man, maybe I can. It's also a humbling reminder of how closely Jesus desires us to model after him. Because Jesus was present. Jesus is present. Jesus is. So what's the scene in your heart look like today? What's it look like? Where is it at? Church. Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. We're going to talk about what happens there, what that means next week, and then what happens after that. But I think today, what I want you to really look at is, who and what are you crying out to? Mary, do you mind coming and playing? Who and what are you crying out to? You know that a lot of your hearts right now are in so much conflict. They're so clouded that yes, there's a Jesus there, but he's hard to see. Here's the difference in the life of Stephen. Jesus wasn't hard to see. Now, unfortunately, in the process of stoning, there isn't no like, hey, let's start with the tummy. Let's go to the legs. Let's avoid the head. They weren't even in their right mind. You remember they were mobbed. They were gnashing their teeth. They were so enraged. They drug them. They didn't even, there was no court. There was no, let's find out if. They actually went really against the law here. So much so, do you know, they drug him out for a reason? Because they couldn't do it there. They had to get out of the city because the law would have said then they were. Because there wasn't any kind of proper. Are you filling in the blanks here and seeing that like, but here's the key. And here's what I want to close with today. All the rage, all the mess, all the stuff that was going on in all those different hearts did not affect the heart of Stephen. He stayed removed from it. Are you staying removed from it? There can be mess all around you. It doesn't mean your heart needs to be a mess. It doesn't mean it needs to be cloudy. It may be hurting. It may be struggling. It may be sad. You think the heart of Jesus was just so excited to? No. But could the heart of Jesus see the will of the Father even when the Father turned his face? Yes. And Stephen, he lived outside of what was happening around him. And that can only happen when your heart is connected to his heart. And so, what does your heart look like? What's clouding your vision? What's keeping you from? What's making you use those excuses? Well, you know, Jesus is Jesus and I'm Joe. Well, you know, Jesus is Jesus and I'm, try this on this week. Well, you know, Stephen is Stephen, but I'm just. And then try on the rest of the disciples, except for John. I don't know, church. I think this is one of the greatest examples in the Word of chaos around, but chaos not in. It's just there. Chaos around, but chaos not in. But if the chaos is in and around, then you've got some cleaning up to do. And that's the question today. What part of your heart needs some cleaning up? Needs some fog lifted? Needs some clarity? Needs some repositioning? We got time. Since y'all go to Sunday school, you still got like 15 minutes. So why not close your eyes now? And just, if there are some places in your heart that need some clarity, that are cloudy, it doesn't have to just be about stuff. It could be heartbreak, hurt, things you can't help. Some of the chaos around us, we can't help it. We can't remove it. But it doesn't mean that it needs to be the dictator of us. And so if you'd like to, I don't know, just go before the Lord. The altars are open. Maybe you're the one that Stephen here is praying for. And maybe you need to go before the Lord and say, forgive me, forgive me. Song this morning, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's no other name like that. And today, maybe it's time to just call on Jesus. Walk through the cloudiness, walk through the confusion, walk through the chaos, straight into the arms and clarity of Jesus. Dear God, we call out to you. Maybe this is the 1,000th time that we've called out to you. Maybe today's the first time that we've called out to you. But right now, we have a desire. And that desire is to be to be able to just see you clearly. That the confusion, the chaos, the anger, the evil, the hate that may be around us, it doesn't have to be in us. God, today we learn from the lessons, the actions, and the words of Stephen. We even learn from the posture. I think about, and I wonder, if that were me, would I be yelling back? Knock it off. Would I call on somebody else? Do I call on somebody else? A lot of things have come to my mind through this. And I guess what I'm reminded of today, Lord, is that the desire that you have is that we would seek you first. That we would call upon your name first. And so let us live that today. Let us go out and say, no more. No more am I going to call upon. And so today we call upon your name. We love you. We live for you. We pray that you would, God, just be present with us. And in our hardest of days, my prayer would be that you would look to us as we look to you. And so we thank you today for this incredible reminder. Jesus, if we summed up your actions in this, there could be a list of them. But I think the overall theme of your intimacy with Stephen is that you are the great God of comfort. And so let us seek you for our comfort. We honor you today. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, God bless you all. I pray that you have a great day today. And guys, dads or not, make sure you grab your bag and take that home with you. And